All right, welcome back to the Airtime Podcast. This is Leo and Arlen, and our first guest on the podcast, team captain of the Shipmunks. He's also our rival podcast host and our assistant to the community manager, Colin Carroll.
Did no one want to come? Is that why it's taking you so long? Am I the only one that said yes? You've conned me into this.
Well, you're the first one to bite.
Happy to bring some of my podcasting knowledge, my nous.
Yep.
Hoping to fill this episode with nous. Do you want to ask us where we are, Leo? Because it is kind of
where are you guys?
We're in none other than the read-in storage cupboard.
The read-in storage cupboard? Or what's going on in there?
We're admiring a lot of supermodels, hypermodels.
Yeah, Dreamstick,
yeah.
A couple of pumps. We're here because we're in we're in the back of the read-in office because the internet's good here. I'm sure this is what Kevin would have wanted. It's not what I pictured for my airtime debut. And when I signed up to be assistant to the community manager, I did think it would be more glamorous than this. But
a hard stop down to reality, I guess, huh?
Yeah, yeah. And actually, speaking of coming back down to earth, I put up a PR yesterday, 14.6. I actually uploaded it this morning. And then within seconds, I had condescending messages from my devout followership on the Woo app. They were coming through via WhatsApp. The really nasty ones came privately via WhatsApp. The more encouraging ones were, you can see on my public profile, a lot along the lines of, I remember my first kiteboarding session. I remember my first jump. Which I don't appreciate. I don't need to start the day with that.
14.6 is, I mean, on a 17 meter code zero, that's respectable.
And I was wearing my lead diving belt.
Mm.
I often wear that. It's actually an additional 40 kilograms, which does give me issues if I lose the kite because it will drown me pretty much instantly. I've got to be really good at treading water. So I keep the kite up at all times. I never crash. Yeah, but I do that because the Woo's just not that accurate, I find, above 50 meters.
Mm.
So good to kind of, you know, bring it back down, sort of Jamie Overbeek, keep it within range.
Create a level playing field and, you know, play fair with everyone.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. That's why I've been trying to fatten Jamie up every time I see him. Offered him some lumps of lard. I'm running the 130 kilogram setup, though. I don't know if there are many people jumping quite as high. I actually used two sets of bar and lines just to spread the load.
Doubling up.
That's impressive. Now, I will admit there was once a consideration to carry an extra weight that had a quick release so you could load up properly and just get rid of that thing and boom.
Not a bad chat. The other things I've been thinking of, I don't know whether, oh, it must have occurred to you too. The racers all wear seat harnesses, right? And that's so they can hold way more power. Why aren't big air people wearing seat harnesses?
Well, we've had a few characters that have come to similar conclusions. We had an old CTO of Woo.
Okay.
That was an exceptional athlete. He was a rower at Harvard, and he decided that the seat harness was the best way to break records on Woo. And it worked. He set the North American record on his way out the door at Woo.
Okay.
There is some thought there.
Part of the charm of a seat harness, you know, I'm talking really naughty here, but is that your abs aren't quite as strained, so you have more endurance. And he would stay out for like 8 hours where all of us would fall apart on our regular harnesses. But on the seat harness, you're kind of like in a sofa and a couch and just doo-doo-doo and cutting along and doing your things. And he had a really, really good explanation as well, right? Because you don't want to say, hey, I'm wearing a seat harness because I want to boost higher. He had back problems. That was his way out, right? No, mm-hmm. I have back problems. I need a seat. The doctor actually prescribed me to use a seat harness.
There's an issue though, isn't it? Your sex appeal is going to take a hit in the seat harness.
All good and well. Once you set the North American record, you know, that quickly turns into a lot of sex appeal, I would say.
Yeah, incredible amounts. No doubt he was inundated with sordid offers. That's probably what he was getting. My equivalent is sarcastic messages.
Right.
Whereas exactly. He was getting sordid offers. Hopefully I'll get there one day.
Seat harness is the way to go.
What are we talking about in this bloody podcast?
All right. Well, the first order of business, Leo just finished a firmware update for the Woo. and it's been a long time coming, but we have a new set of LED patterns on the top of the Woo that you'll be excited to download. If you connect your Woo to your phone, it'll push an update. The big one is that there is now a shelf mode, so a mode that the Woo will kind of disconnect the battery and kind of protect it over time. And when it reconnects, when you go back to use the Woo after it's been in shelf mode, we now have a way to communicate that the Woo needs to be paired with your phone to set the clock so that it knows what time it is. And you'll see a blinking pattern that basically looks like a standby, the single green flashing light with a quick red in between. It might throw people that haven't seen it before the first time. It might, you know, you're not sure if it's recording or if it's in standby. What it's saying is it's in standby, but it just needs to be connected to the phone and then it'll go back to normal. And then there's a bunch of other little bug fixes that we're always kind of tweaking that are included in that one as well.
Will people think that the flashing green and red is a Christmas mode?
They might think it's a Christmas mode, yeah.
It's no coincidence that this also comes just around Christmas. And one thing to note, it's 4.0 only. So shelf mode has been there since the start for 4.0, but the LED changes now and the firmware update is 4.0 only.
Do you guys talk about how good the 4.0 is?
We try to.
You're probably too humble to really do it.
Way not enough.
Leo likes to bring it up and everyone kind of says, all right, Leo, we've heard this.
Yeah. All right, salesman. Well, let me take this one because it is actually sick. Like, the battery life is mad and it's so much more robust. I just think about it less, but get way more out of it. The gray is awesome. What's the cheapest way to get 4.0 at the moment?
Well, if you're a pro user on Woo, you get a little discount code in your profile, so you can save a few bucks there. I think the best way is to just go to your local kite shop and grab one, and if they don't have them, ask them why they don't have them, get an order in, because really the point of Woo is that it's a community platform, so we want to see kite shops building little communities around their area. Say hi, wish them Merry Christmas, Happy New Year,
unless you don't like them.
I mean, hopefully you find one kite shop in your area that you can get along with.
The thing is with Woo, though, you don't actually, like, as soon as one person at your kite spot has it and they've set the Woo
record
for that spot and you're like, that person is useless. I know they are. Then it's just like this inevitable snowball effect of other users and then the fight begins.
Right. We had quite the day at Pleasure Bay this week. There was a storm that just went through New England. The guys went out in comfortably 60 knots. You got to think that in the back of their mind, they thought they might break that Patrick record at Pleasure Bay, but it didn't happen. They all came off the water, borderline death defying out there.
So. What is it actually called, Pleasure Bay?
It is actually called Pleasure Bay.
Okay,
and it is actually Pleasure Bay because it brings people a lot of, like, there's lots of fun to be had at this beach. Kiting wise, but it was onshore conditions, Alan. I have to correct you. It's Matt Butnaru who's holding the P Bay record currently.
Oh,
he took it from me some years ago. Yes.
What's the record right now?
I believe it to be 25.6.
Wow.
I sit, I think, at 25.3 at Pleasure Bay, and he's at 25.6. And so that was right after I left Boston. So I think they all waited till I left, and then they're like, okay, well, now as he's helpless, we're gonna come for him.
Is Pleasure Bay a nudist beach?
You would think so, but I think if you did that in the US, it wouldn't go over well. Let's put it this way. So no, it's not a nudist beach.
Okay, just to clear things up.
You would get some looks from the shipping yard across the way.
Right.
Oh, very good. Oh, how much is the discount, by the way, through that? I think
it's 40 euro.
Okay, because I think people ask me thinking I've got some sort of special kind of round the back of the shed deal, and I don't, annoyingly. Sorry, guys, everyone listening. But yeah, that's the best way. Okay.
So one thing that we've been up to this fall is that we've done both a blank kite test with Lorenzo Casati, and then we followed a few of those guys to King of the Air last week, and we had some pretty interesting data actually from both the blank kite test and then from the King of the Air semis and finals. Colin just published a wrap-up video looking at that final in particular. I think a lot of folks thought that Lorenzo was riding a little bit better than Andrea, but the Woo data reminded people that height is a pretty key component to that contest. And he was jumping a little bit higher. Check that out. It's on Colin's YouTube. What do you think of that analysis?
What did I think of my own video?
Yeah,
I won't answer that. I will answer. Most interesting thing about it is the YouTube comments underneath, which I don't usually read, but I had a few people screenshot me them. So I did go and check them out, and it's actually like borderline conspiracy theories in there, but some really good points, and it's just quite a heated debate, which I wasn't expecting at all. Andrea is going higher. We've got that in the Woo data. You can go and watch that. Visually, I think on the beach, it was obvious as well that he was going higher. But yeah, what Lorenzo was doing in the final is arguably a better execution. And yeah, people kind of feel like Lorenzo was robbed there, which, and I didn't think that feeling was as strong as it obviously is, because it's, yeah, people are quite fired up about it. I wasn't expecting that kind of response. So that's been cool to see.
Sounds like it's one to look out for.
Yeah, I don't know why in big air and the biggest competition, like, we're not using Woo data in the live stream. It's crazy to think that 70% of the competition is height.
Right.
And that's not taken into, like, the actual scientific fact is not taken into account for the judging. It is all by eye. But honestly, I think the right person won on that day for the King of the Air criteria, which is always height. It always has been, probably always will be.
Yeah, these guys kind of came up, you know, everyone right now is reminding us that these guys rode through the Bakkel competitions before they really hit the Red Bull stage. And before Bakkel, they were riding on Woo a lot. Like, you go back in their profiles, and when they were 13, 14, 15, they were figuring out how to jump high. And when we were in Greece, Andrea snuck out with a Woo and cracked 30 meters, was pretty proud of himself. And so,
hey, bro, you have a Woo. I get 36. What did he get? Did he get 30 that day?
30.0, yeah.
And Lorenzo did loops at 25 meters.
Yeah, he was on like a 6 jumping 25.
Yeah, that was his first day on the Alula kites as well, which, and it was 50 knots. In the video, I was like, I'm going to say it's 40 because otherwise people won't believe it. But actually, it was 50. They both said it was 50. It was scared them shitless. Well, I didn't, yeah, scared Lorenzo shitless, mostly because he was on blank kites that he'd never been on before.
Right. Like, and directly on short.
There you go. And he's using a bar and lines that he'd won King of the Air on.
Yeah.
You know, almost a year previous. Yeah, super breezy that day. And those two were the only two out.
Right.
And it was actually like...
at the Duotone Pro Center.
It's actually not rideable for anyone other than those two on that day.
Yeah, Lorenzo had the Woo and the watch going. You could just see him checking his scores every time to see, you know, evaluate those kites. And then he started to do doubles, S-loops, the whole thing.
So Andrea's 30-meter jump on that day puts him in at 42nd in the all-time height leaderboard.
It's interesting and crazy at the same time, yeah.
Yeah, Lorenzo's at 50, 29.6, and loads of people who aren't sponsored considerably higher, which is really cool to see. That's always been the way, right?
Right.
Unless you're taking, as a pro kite boarder, unless you're taking it super seriously as, like, as part of your job, which I think a lot of pro kite boarders do. I would be surprised if Woo isn't in some of the contracts for these guys, especially at the top, like the core guys, Jamie... because it is such a good way to, like, market your kite too.
Right.
Like, the highest jumping kites are going to be at the top of the Woo leaderboards. That's just how it's going to be.
What's your feeling on the Alula switchover that's happening right now? Do you think that's...
I change my mind all the time.
Yeah. Have you ridden an Alula kite?
Yeah, various ones. But I think it's actually much more about the rider than the lightness of the material. Because when we put Andrea... Chippy on an Orbit, he looked amazing.
Yep.
And when we put Lorenzo on Alula, he looked really good there too. I think Dacron is way more durable. I think it's going to hold its value better because it's not going to pop. And I think the Alula makes it a lot more difficult in the hands of the amateur kiter. I think it unlocks like a new level for people at the top end of the sport. I think, yeah, and an unnecessary and actually maybe a hindrance in the hands of the majority of the market.
Certainly the price is challenging.
Oh my God, yeah. What do you think, Leo? What's your thoughts on this light materials?
I sit with it very far away because I haven't ridden an Alula kite yet. I was skeptical in the get-go. You know, I got reminded a bit of the extract experiment back from 2014 and thought Alula may flame out in a similar fashion, but the reports I'm hearing from some of the riders, now, mind you, these are world record kind of riders, go to Denmark and fly the XR Pro and are just amazed by how rigid the airframe is. And that certainly is a powerful thing for performance riders, but similar to car racing, there's really, really fast Formula One cars, but the everyday guy wants a reliable car that is a bit more comfortable and not quite as expensive, holds its value, all the things you mentioned. So I think it's going to be redefining the peak segment of the market, but I have my doubts that it will become the mainstream choice for the vast majority of users. So, but I think it's here to stay. I mean, it's been around now long enough. It's proven its value. And mind you, we're still at the beginning of the development cycle and the material will get better. The designs will get more accustomed to the material and to its benefits. And so, yeah, I think it's here to stay.
As the captain of Team Chipmunks, what thoughts do you have for your team in the off season, the Woo World's off season?
I just hope it's quite a long off season. I just hope that everyone's staying fit, keeping their minds on the target. Mm-hmm. Just try not to think too much about anything else other than Woo Worlds if you can. You know, thoughts are going to come into your head, like, don't really like my job, or, you know, my life partner is maybe not the one. I don't love them. Just push those thoughts away and just remember that we did lose in 2023 and that cannot happen ever again. We need, yeah, foot to the floor. I want a 3-0. I want to get the bagel on SpaceX in 2024. And I believe we're going to be doing it. The recruitment drive's already begun. I bought a tall Dutch man called Peter.
Some of you may be familiar with Peter's riding. He's been on Woo for a long time.
And I went up to him, gave him a beer, and said, can I exchange the free beer for your word that you all joined the Chipmunks in perpetuity?
Wow. that's where the transfer market is right now for Woo World.
Yeah, I mean, that's one of the hottest transfers. I think it cost 80 cents. Which is way cheaper than Mark. I tried to buy Marc Jacobs for $350 and he said no.
Yeah, well, that's when markets are at the highest.
Yeah. As things have crashed since then.
All right, our final topic is we have a leaderboard that we were looking at for the most kite days of 2023.
Coming in at 10th, we have Andy the Gust Hunter, bracket core bracket, with 188 days.
Number 9, Karen Hu. 200 clean, 200 days in Penghu Island.
Graham Roberts, 206.
Dan Ironman Bouchard, 209.
Legend. Chipmunk. Absolute legend. Richard Webster, 210.
G2 and then Jump, 216.
Yetley's Edge, 200. Don't correct me. Yetley's.
Yeah, you're
that
right.
That is that.
No, so he's a legend. Right. He's a legend.
I was right and you still corrected me. 220.
And then we've got Miro. Kitefly DE, 227.
Then in at number 2, Norm King from the USA, 236 days. And then taking it home,
Trevor Smith, 261.
261 days using Woo.
Yeah. The best part is he's a pure foiler. He goes out and just foils every single day. Must have a great routine in Queens Beach, Australia.
He's been out today even.
He's got to finish the year strong.
And looking at his GPS data, I can see that he's got a strong tack in him.
Yep.
Look at that. They're like little pinholes.
Clean
almost.
Loops.
Clean, beautiful loops. You can do a tight one. And that's like quite a nice wide berth on that one as well.
Yep.
No wonder he's out so much. If I could tack like that, I'd be up for
a lot of practice this year.
How many days did he do? 261.
So far, he's got another week left.
Okay, that is good commitment. Well done, Trevor, mate.
Yetley last year, 278. So that's 17 more. Oof, he's not going to touch him. Yetley's going to hold the record, I think, after this year.
17 more. Yeah. Okay. Shit.
278. So if you're thinking about 2024, your mark to beat is 278 kite days in one calendar year.
A lot of the same names.
Yeah.
We're looking at this. Norm King up there again. Miro up there again. Andy the Gust Hunter.
I mean, Jamie's kiting every other day, all year round.
158 for Jamie Overbeek. How many months has Jamie Overbeek won Woo this year?
He didn't get November. So
shit.
that Ivan session from that big storm in the Netherlands, 34.4, was able to win November.
How often do you guys at Woo have fake profiles of pros popping up.
Not yet, right, Arlen?
No, no. There was an Aaron Hadlow doing some pretty woeful jumps for a while, I remember.
Oh. Well, we had Barack Obama and a few, you know, a few other celebrities that were being profiled on the app. But fortunately, we don't yet see many Ruben Lentons and Kevin Langerays and all that.
We had a theory that Mark Harrison was just Mark Jacobs' burner account. We didn't think Mark Harrison was a real person for a long time.
He is.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, he does exist. I know him personally. He's a tyrant. He's my greatest rival. I hope to one day destroy him psychologically. Just leave him in tatters.
Leo, any other zingers for us before we wrap up?
No, nothing crazy. Merry Christmas, everyone. Have a wonderful in Germany, we say it's Feste Liebe, you know, the celebration of love. So that's a good one coming up. And obviously, enjoy Cape Town, the two of you.
Thank you, guys. Thank you for having me on Kiteboarding's second best podcast.
On the day of your PR.
On the day of my PR, nonetheless. Actually, maybe third best. Adrian has two, doesn't he? And Liam has one, so maybe fourth. Fourth best.
Fourth best.
That's good, guys. Keep
it
up.
We're going down.
We'll take it.